Today we're continuing our series on DNA, the core of the local church. Last week we talked about our vision and how our core and what we do is important, and everything has to flow out of that. I want to talk today about values. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Are you getting exhausted? Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but in completeness comes what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, I didn't say it. That is not me. We need to be a people that love well, that speak truth, that fellowship in community within here and out there, and are transformed. You see, we've talked about DNA and our mission and how it's in us and it has to be in there. When we become a believer, we are Christ, spiritually speaking, DNA. And that is to ooze out of everything we do. Well, let's talk about DNA for our values. Our values. See, values represent convictions, and they show the core of not just what a person believes, but also how they live. You see, there are four values identified for the church, and it's love, truth, fellowship, and transformation. See, when it comes to values, they are basic and fundamental beliefs that guide you and I or motivate our attitudes and our actions. They help us determine what is important to us. Values describe the personal qualities we choose to embody to guide our actions. To become the sort of person we want to be, the manner in which we treat ourselves and treat others, and our interaction with the world around us. Your values ooze out of you. What you feel is important, you place in front of everything else. What do you place in front of everything else? What do you think about the most? What do you strive for the most? Because a lot of times that's what your main value is. If it's money, your main value is money. If it's relationships, if it's power, if it's whatever it is, whatever you strive for, that's what you value first of all. And so our values, they provide our general guideline on everything for our conduct. So no matter what we do, no matter what situation, no matter where we are, our values come to the front. And I'll tell you right now, in times of stress, what you value on a regular basis, we have stress reactions, but sometimes what will happen is our stress reaction will be what we value the most. So maybe we actually have fear. Maybe we are afraid of things. Well, why are you afraid? We have to dig deeper into those things as to why we're afraid. When something happens, we have fear. What are we putting in front of that? If we have too much fear, and it's not a healthy fear, then we're not placing Jesus in front. We're not putting him first. There is fear, and fear is okay in its right spot. But if we're constantly afraid, then we value fear more than we value Jesus Christ at the head of our lives, in our DNA of everything we do. Now, does that mean it's all over, just might as well pack it in because you have fear? No. You see, it's a journey. And we're all working along that journey. Sometimes we go two steps forward and five steps back. Have you ever been there? Five steps back. Oh, it's like I've said a million times before, when you're driving on a trip with the family, you're going and everybody has to take a pee break. No, I got ahead. Now I'm going to be 1,000 cars behind. That's how sometimes life feels like. So how do we express our values here, specifically at Westwinds? Well, I got a neat little thingy for you up here. First of all, we welcome. We want to be welcoming. We want to have a climate of acceptance. We want you to feel like you're accepted. We want every member to be a minister. We want every member to be a minister. What does that mean? It means that when you get involved, you're a minister. When you get saved through Jesus Christ, you are a minister. I'm professional clergy, but I'm before all that a minister. Okay, we're all ministers. There's no different rules when it comes to that. Take away position, you're all ministers. You have the responsibility as a minister for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. We could stop there and that could take a while. That's big. So in every action and everything you do and how you treat people, you need to be like Christ. Seeker sensitive. What do I mean by that? We don't want to use a ton of Christianese jargon. We want people who don't normally go to church to understand what we're saying. Otherwise, we're like, brothers and sisters, lend me your ears. Like, we don't need to speak in all sorts of Christianese. If we start talking about hermeneutics and homiletics and penology and, you know, all that stuff, pneumatology, it was a joke, but you didn't catch it. If we start talking about all these terms, it's going to fly over, first of all, most people, because that's not an area of study for most. And for those that don't go to church, when we say pneumatology, we're just talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a whole other part. So we have to be careful on how we word things so you understand. Not because you're not intelligent. You're all very intelligent people. The problem is it becomes too Christianese. And nobody understands it. Even I forget some of the time what it means, some of that stuff. So we try to be as seeker sensitive. So if somebody's on a journey to find God, to find Jesus, we want them to understand what's being said, instead of being more confused than they already are on their journey. We want to train up disciples. What does that mean? Well, a disciple is just a follower of Jesus Christ. So we want to train you. We want you to train others. So you not only, our responsibility is to empower you, but your responsibility is to empower others to be disciples. So that's important. Way of life preaching. We want you to walk away with something, one thing. If you don't remember anything of all my long-winded stuff, remember, take one thing, just one tiny little thing that you could take out there. And if not, if you got nothing out of the message, just look up as you walk out the door. It says go and be and go do that, okay? I try for you as hard as I can. Integrity of Scripture. We value the Bible, okay? The inherent Word of God, the integrity of Scripture. So you won't hear heresy. You won't hear word faith, name it, claim it. You're not going to hear any of that kind of stuff. You're going to hear Bible theology. But you're also going to know how to apply that because we want a way of life preaching. But it's not going to be my skew on it or any of the other staff's. It's going to be what it actually says. And how do we do that? We do that by reading the culture of the time, what was being said, how that's answered. And we may challenge you in your own beliefs. And that's okay, because what have we said before? We can disagree on some things, and that's okay, because it's secondary. You can have healthy discussion and not be angry and be like, that's it, I'm out, meh, they don't believe in this, I'm gone. Think about it. Is it a primary theological belief that's part of our core values? If we start saying that Jesus is not the Son of God, leave. You got a problem. We got a problem. I got a bigger problem. Okay? If I have some other type of theology as to the year and date of something, or whether or not I like Paul or Peter better or whatever, get over it. Maybe I don't like that stuff. Maybe you do. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is core values. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a life, ministry, died on the cross for you, for our sins. And then what did he do? If we got that, what's the problem here, people? Okay, we'll work through the other stuff. And we do have beliefs and bents. If you are one who thinks Jesus is coming back now, or if you think he's coming back partway through a whole bunch of chaos, or if you think he's just going to wait till it's all over and then come, okay. We can differ on that. We can differ on that. One day we'll know, and if I'm right, when we're in heaven, I'll laugh at you. And then if you're right, you can laugh at me. And then we'll just continue on in the heavenly realms. So integrity of scripture is important to me. Life groups, a network of small groups, people. This has got to be in our DNA. You have to have a support group around you. You have to. People are dying for community. Get in a life group. I will beat this until my eyes and ears bleed. Please, life group, get involved. It changes your life, your perspective, and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. Driven by purpose. We don't just do things to do things because, we got to fill the calendar. Let's put something in this spot and throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. Everything we do has a purpose and a reason. So when we do an event, when we do a service, everything we do has a purpose. And hopefully you see that in doing them. It's either about community in general. It's about fellowship. Okay, it's about learning. Everything we do is part of our values. And so everything has to tie in. It's about reaching out and transforming other people's lives. Guess what? That's why we want to do these gift certificates for these teens. Okay, let's make that happen. And we're going to fundraise until we reach the whole goal. So we're going to do it. And then we're going to keep fundraising until that money's all in. Okay, they need it. If you've ever been to the Hamper program, it is unbelievable. A lot of cool stuff happens at the Hamper program. So we're reaching out into our community. There's a reason why we do these things. Not just because if I did everything that people asked, I'm telling you right now, I get phone calls every day. I get phone calls, emails, and a lot of them I ignore because it's not part of where we're at. We've got stuff. We have what we do, and we're going to focus on those things. We're going to do them well. We're going to do a few things well. We're not going to do 20 things horribly ineffective, right? So we're driven by purpose. And servant leadership, we lead by serving. This is how we express ourselves. This is important. You need to understand that. And so the next question after how do we express our values, it would be, how do we model those? Well, we model it, first of all, by love. We model it. The heart of the gospel is love. Like we said, it's ripped throughout scripture. God so loved the world, he sent his son to die on the cross. John 3:16. John, 1 John 4-7, chapter 4, verse 7 says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And that Luke 6:27. But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. How many have a problem with that one? Not as in theory, not in philosophy, but in just action. How many got a problem with that? Love your enemies. You don't have to put up your hands. I feel like I'm going to point you out and you feel like you're going to be all upset about it. No, that's tough. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Ponder on that throughout the week. And not just during Christmas, in the Januaries and the Februaries and the Marches and the Aprils and so on. See, the love that culture talks about has a different definition. Our culture defines love completely differently. Our culture's version of love is ambiguous and it's rooted in good feelings. It's in good feelings. You know, the Beatles sang, well, all you need is love. But I can promise you their definition was not the definition we're talking about. It wasn't the definition of Christ-centered love. It's not rooted in Jesus. We defined love in 1 Corinthians 13 that it's patient, it's loving, it's caring, it's courageous, it's protecting. And it's the love that God shows his people. And we are to show that out to others. And so we model values by love. We also model our values by truth. And this is where integrity of Scripture comes in. You know, it's funny. What is truth? Don't answer. Wikipedia. Of course, they have every answer for everything, right? I want to read it to you. It's very, it's so funny. So truth, according to Wikipedia, and then that's the gospel of information nowadays. Truth is, and this is where I laugh, most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality. Most. Sometimes, but most of the time. Truth, mostly. I want to scream, because truth is truth. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Let me continue. Mostly, being in accord with fact or reality, mostly with reality, sometimes not so much, or fidelity to an origin or standard, sometimes. Truth is also sometimes, it just blows my mind with the definition of truth. They can't even get this right. Truth also sometimes, when it's not the other factual one, is defined in modern context as an idea of truth to self. Truth to self, or authenticity. So I act a certain way, I'm authentic, it's true, but I could be just a big jerk. And it's still truth, but it's okay though. Well, is it? No, it's not. You see, sometimes we confuse it. See, John MacArthur quoted in one of his books, he said, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. So let me give you some examples of what the truth is not, because this is where we get confused with what truth is, because it doesn't fit our fancy. So we change it. Well, this is my truth. You can't take that truth from me. It's my truth. But you're wrong. You're dead wrong. But it's my truth. Believe it all you want. But I'm here to tell you today, up is up and down is down. You jump off a bridge, you go splat. There's nothing else in there. Okay? You can't change that fact. You can't change it. So here's truth is not simply whatever works. Okay? Like an ends by a means kind of approach. It, in reality, lies can appear to work. Lies work. Otherwise, people wouldn't use them. Why would you lie if it didn't work? That's silly. Don't lie then, right? But they're still lies. They're not truth. Truth is not simply what is coherent or understandable. You could put a whole bunch of people in a room. They could say a bunch of stuff and actually believe that this story is true. They may be eloquent at speaking it. I mean, this happens today. I mean, just turn on the news. Maybe they're not very good at speaking it. But anyways, they try. Let's put it that way. They say things and people follow, and they believe it as true. A good example is, I'm just going to do it anyways. Obama is not a Muslim. Okay, he's not a Muslim. But they keep saying he was a Muslim. They say he wasn't born in Hawaii. He was born in the U.S. of A. in Hawaii. They have it. And there's this big conspiracy and there's all these problems. Because if somebody just says it, nowadays, if they say something, it could be false, but everyone says it's true. There's no more, let's prove this fact before we go around running around spreading it. It just goes like wildfire. Why? Well, that's because our society and the way it's set up. You say one thing or do one thing, you do it and it's tweeted and it's Facebooked and Instagrammed and it's all out there. And there's nothing you can do about it. But it doesn't change the fact that those things may be lies. So we have to be very careful that it's not simply something we just understand. Oh, that makes sense. So what? It still could be false. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Sometimes, unfortunately, bad news is true. And your poor little sensitive feelings are going to get hurt. But it's still true. And so we have to be very careful. I don't like that. It makes me feel bad. Therefore, it's false. Sometimes it means that. No. Never. Just because you feel bad doesn't make it false. Doesn't make it true. So you have to be careful how you feel. Truth is not what the majority says is true. That's tough because we live in a society where 51% are right. Are they right? Or are they just in agreement? There's a difference. We can be in agreement and still be wrong. But over 80% of the people polled said this is the way it should be. They're wrong in many cases. So we got to be careful. It's not because everybody else agrees. That's going to be something that in our lifetime we're going to have to address just within society. Just because everybody agrees with something, yes, my feelings dictate that this should be okay, then it is. No, that's not what it's about. It's not about our feelings. Truth is not what is comprehensive. Like, it can be a whole bunch of data and a whole bunch of information and then come out with a false ending. It could be wrong. Truth is not simply what is believed. I believe, so therefore I am. No, truth, a lie is believed is still a lie. And truth is not, like we said, what is publicly proved. Like, a truth can be privately known. For example, the location of something that you only know where it is, where it's buried. It's not, truth is not what is just publicly proved. So there can be things we don't know that are still true. We've gone throughout our whole society where all of a sudden something that we didn't know was true all of a sudden became true. And we're like, oh, cool. From facts, not because of feelings, not because they just thought something might be okay. And our world is full of theories. And until proven with fact, that's all we have. That's all we have, our theories. And so the Greek word for truth literally means to unhide or hide nothing. It conveys that truth is always there. It's always there. You just didn't see it or didn't know it. It's open and available for all to see, but sometimes we just don't get there. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing obscured. We just can't see it. Have you ever, so I'm going to tell you a story. I didn't tell Michelle because I was trying to deal with how I felt about this in being wrong. And so I was cleaning out my garage. It was a mess. I was angry. People put stuff in there and just keeps piling up and I'm frustrated, but I'm sweeping and moving things and throwing stuff around. And for weeks, I couldn't find my skill saw. No, sorry, table saw. It was a table. It wasn't a table saw. See, I don't do wood. It's a miter saw. Okay, I was looking for this silly thing. Ugh. So as I'm walking into the garage several times in the last year, I was bound and determined somebody took my saw. Someone took it. Why would they touch my saw? Who, I tell you, took my saw? Couldn't get any work done. People say, well, I'll loan you one. No, I want my saw. And it was in my garage, and now it's not in my garage. So I went in there. Michelle's like, are you sure it's not in there? It is not in the garage. So I wander around in the garage months, a whole year. I went into the garage before we started cleaning it. I took two steps in, there's my miter saw. The fact is, it was there all along. I couldn't see it. I believe to this day God didn't want me to do the work that everybody else is telling me I had to do. Because that's the only truth I got. But it was there. Plain, hadn't moved. I haven't remembered how I stored it after I saw it. But it didn't change the fact that that saw was still there. It's been there the whole time. I just couldn't see it. So the truth of the matter is, unfortunately, Michelle was correct that it was still in the garage. I just couldn't see it. That happens a lot, by the way, more and more every year. I'm a little concerned about it. It's not something to laugh at, but thanks. So truth is important. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." My saw has burdened me now, but it did set me free from my frustration and my anger. But I always find something else to get frustrated with, so don't worry, there's lots of other things going on. So if we model truthfulness, we need to be always modeling truthfulness. Whether or not it's convenient for us, and I had to do this publicly so that Michelle wouldn't point and laugh at me, but it was important that I finally came to the truth that it was always in the garage. And if we aren't modeling truth ourselves, no one will take our claims about the Lord seriously. If we're not speaking truths, they won't believe what we have to say. And so we always have to be careful of how we represent the gospel. And so we need to model truth. Thirdly, we model our values by fellowship. By fellowship, it's super important. We are a family. We are part of a family of believers. 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. To everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor, meaning honor leadership and your public service people. In our world, families have become broken and redefined and taken for granted. The early church was unified and lived life together. Acts 4:32 to 35 talks about that, how they all gave to each other and poured out to each other and served each other as a family. And so we are born again in Christ, and those who are also in Christ are also our brothers and our sisters. You see, the problem is our own personal family experiences, be that good or bad, usually impact our view of family. So we can bring in our bad habits from our dysfunctional family members and drag them right into the church, and then we make that an issue here in the church. I'm here to tell you, we're not doing that. Dysfunctional family, I come from one, I know what it means, I get it, but it has no place here, okay? Just because mine was messed up, I don't need to mess up everybody else's. So good or bad. And so remember, our truth can impact our view and feelings, and they can be wrong. So when we come in, we can be untrusting of others. And in this setting, we need to be wise, and we need to trust each other. And if everybody's trusting each other and being wise and serving each other, these other issues will fade away. And so we need to have fellowship. We want to create a loving environment where we can come as a family, where we can worship, we can share life, and ultimately grow together on this journey to be better and to be Christ-like. N.T. Wright says, early Christians lived as an extended family. The church must never forget that call. We need to model fellowship. And we model our values by our transformation. You see, you are not who you used to be. At least you shouldn't. Maybe it's small changes in your life and your spiritual walk. Maybe it's big ones. I don't know. But you are not who you used to be. And you need to continue to be transformed. You need to continue to become more full of what Christ's love has. You need to have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? It means just what you think about and who you are from our inner DNA, our spiritual DNA, is pushing out the love of Christ to others. And Jesus changes everything. Our spiritual DNA is not just given to us a new place to go when we die, when we go to heaven, but it ultimately changes our present here and now, today, and forever. Love, truth, and fellowship all come together to change us at the center of our being. And on top of love, truth, and fellowship, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You are being transformed. You are being changed on a regular basis. The Holy Spirit is present and is always present in our lives, transforming us to become more like our Christ-like DNA, working through us. And we are people being changed, and we want to see others change their lives as well. We want to see life-changing experience. And I'm telling you right now, changed lives equals changed communities. When your life is changing and you reach out and you show that spiritual love of Jesus Christ, you are changing communities. And think small and then work your way out. Think your inner circles, the people you love. Go outside, 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 in the church, and then move out into the community, where you're serving, where you work, what you do, where you play. All that is part of it. You're changing lives. Does that mean everything you say is going to change someone's life? No, but it's a small part we have to play. And if we all play this part correctly and properly, and when the Holy Spirit leads us, guess what? You are changing communities. But it's up to you. You can choose not to. But it's going against your spiritual DNA. Again, like last week we talked about, you can change your eye color by putting in contacts, but your eyes are still their color. So we want to change lives, not just inside, but also outside, everywhere. We want changed families. We want changed friends, meaning they're better. They're transformed. We want changed parents, brothers, sisters. We want changed coworkers and changed neighbors that are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If this is all true, people, then we need to be doing it. The Holy Spirit, if he's the power, then we need to be doing it. If Jesus came, which I believe he did, it's proven, it's factual, changed my life. Guess what? The power is there for us to help others change their lives. Change their lives. Somebody mentioned something to me the other day and said how, well, the way they worded it was kind of mean, but they said, a skid kid from Aldergrove, look at you now. And I went, skid? I don't know. I would say, Michelle's like, no, you're a skid. And I'm like, Because Jesus came into my life. And why? Because some dude down the street did a VBS and I went to it. Changed my life. People volunteered and had a bus ministry, picked me up for Sunday school, and I went to it and gave my heart to the Lord. And the cool thing about the guy who ran the VBS is I was there when he passed. Well, actually, I wasn't there when he passed, but I was there when he was really sick, and then I got to go to a call. That's not cool that he was sick, so don't get weird. But it was that I got to tell him before he died what he did in my life, and his son was blown away. I was blown away. I was emotional. I was a wreck. It was horrible. I'm telling you, he changed my life because of Jesus. And then Jesus took hold. Guys, gals, Jesus will transform your life and everyone else around you. And we need to understand that. When we change our communities, we change our country. And when we change our country, we can change the world. And again, I don't want to give you expectations like, oh, you're going to change the world. We, and the ripple effect, realistically and truthfully, will change the world. We can know God in ways that will forever change our thinking, forever change our acting. We can change our communities in a positive way if we surrender our rights to Him and push aside our selfish desires, knowing He will supply our needs better than we can ever imagine. Better than we can ever imagine. And better than we can do ourselves. You see, when we model our values with love, truth, fellowship, and by the transformation of lives, we are helping others transform theirs as well. You see, at the heart of DNA, at the heart of the DNA of our values is Jesus, which emulates love, truth, fellowship, and transform lives. We emulate it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you.